alright. Alright, alright, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are a superstar. At least that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each episode, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and today I welcome the team Noise Pollution to the show. Mad Max Morrison and Rock Richards have been traveling the Mid-Atlantic circuit for well over a year now, and I look forward to hearing more about their journey in professional wrestling. Then, my resident WWE expert, Kerry Morris, a.k.a. the Squared Circle Guy, will join me to discuss the road to WrestleMania 33. Noise Pollution, welcome to OWW Radio.
Thank you.
Hey, what's going on, man?
It's good to have Mad Max Morrison and Rock Richards on OWW Radio. I appreciate you guys taking the time to join me. Mad Max, tell me how 2017 has been treating you so far.
Shoot, brother. 2017 has been a pretty cool ride so far. We got the Louder Than Hell tour running. Noise Pollution has been going to promotion, raising a little heck, you know, banging heads, doing what we do. It's been pretty cool so far.
and Rock, I'm not as familiar with your work. Most of the ring announcing that I do is in more of the Northeast, Delaware, Pennsylvania area. Where do you guys primarily wrestle?
I guess you could say that, you know, the Mid-Atlantic area, wrestle a lot in North Carolina, starting to actually wrestle a little bit more in Virginia, which is where we're from.
Okay.
But we've been to West Virginia, Tennessee, Georgia, but yeah, mostly down in the Carolinas.
And I noticed when I called you guys tonight that your area code is 757. Are you down in the Norfolk area, Max?
No, I'm in Virginia Beach.
Oh, Virginia Beach. Okay. Okay, how about you, Rock?
I'm in Yorktown.
Yorktown, okay. Good. I've actually been down there quite a few times for work. We have an office down there, so I'm somewhat familiar with the area. Mad Max, I want to start with you. Look at your background first. Where did you grow up? Did you guys say you're from Virginia originally?
Yes, sir. I was born and raised here. Born in Portsmouth, Virginia, raised Virginia Beach.
And were you always a wrestling fan that you know, you decided this is something you want to do professionally? What got you interested in this?
As far as I can remember, man, pro wrestling's always been a part of my life. It's kind of like, it's always been like music, comic books, pro wrestling, and they all kind of went hand in hand together. So, of course, my first goal was to try my hand at being a rock star, and I did that. And then as I got older, I had just completed my college degree. I went ahead and did all that stuff, and then I happened to meet some people in the local scene over here out in Virginia Beach, and they introduced me to a guy with a school, and it's like, well, here's a chance to be a pro wrestler if you want to do it. And I was like, well, heck, man, it's either now or never, so I figured I'd at least give this a shot. And just seemed to be like a good pair of jeans, man. It was a perfect fit.
Well, I've gone up to Dwayne Gill's Wrestling Academy in Maryland and a couple other wrestling schools to do some media coverage, and I know that pro wrestling training is a lot harder than people think it's going to be. Mad Max, was that the case for you when you started training, that, like, my God, this is really hard?
It was a little rough at first, Dave. But, I mean, just with all things that you ain't used to, man, especially walking into something brand new and definitely being a little older than everybody else in the training class, you know, it's just kind of a different mentality walking into a place. Because, I mean, shoot, I walked in the doors. I came from a partying lifestyle. I was out of shape. And, you know, I was more worried about lifting beer cans than I was lifting weights. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess after about a few months and a few injuries, you know, It started to click a little more and more. Just the more I trained, the more I did it, the more apt my body got used to it. And then it just kind of it gets a little easier over time. You know, and then gave it about another year, and then things started to really come together. You know what I mean?
Well, it's an interesting business because it's not just learning how to wrestle. You have to look a certain way. You have to develop a character. Were there parts of the business, Mad Max, that maybe were a little more difficult for you to pick up, like cutting a good promo?
Actually, the promo part wasn't really as hard as I thought it was going to be compared to some of the other things. I know for me, I come from an entertainment background. I've been working in music for going on 12 years now and a bunch of different facets. So, I mean, the business, actually taking care of the business, the booking, you know, where you got to be, this and that, it was fairly a lateral move. But for me, it's just been understanding the psychology and getting the moves down and, you know, where you put this and that and just getting the train of thought. That's more or less been the hardest part. But now it's, you know, getting to the point where it's all starting to come together.
It's interesting you had kind of that rock, you know, rock and roll background, you'd be in a band, and it kind of feeds nicely into pro wrestling, being in front of people, entertaining people, right?
Oh, absolutely, man. It was, like I said, it's just, it's almost practically the same business, just a different art form.
Absolutely. How did you meet Rock?
Me and Rock met because I was starting my training for Southside Pro Wrestling, and we had the school down here in Virginia Beach and did that, and I was there for probably about a good 8 or 9 months, and then they eventually sold the school to this gym in Yorktown called Body by D's, and they developed a company called Primetime Wrestling Alliance, and Rock was the first student to come over when they did the shift, and we started doing training classes together, started talking a lot more, realized we had a lot in common, and then when our old trainer phased out, and then our trainer, Mr. Damian Wayne, came in and started training us, he saw a lot in common. The bench was like, hey, you guys are kind of cool. You look like kind of fit together. Have you guys thought about being a tag team? So we did a bunch of talking and put things together, and you know, we formed the Noise Pollution, and it's been a pretty cool thing ever since.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting because you can't just stick two people together. There has to be some chemistry. There has to be some cohesion in the ring and outside of the ring as well. Rock, did you feel when you started tagging with Mad Max that you knew right away this was going to work for you?
Yeah, pretty much. We'd started training together because of the change in the school. And then after a few months training with Wayne, we got to do a match down at NEW in Elizabeth City. And it was my first match ever, you know. So,
oh, wow.
Me and Max actually got put together as a tag team. It was a six-man. There was like three teams in the match. And after the match, when we came back, the next training class, you know, I kind of sat down and said, hey, look, we got a lot in common. You know, we both realize there's really nowadays everybody wants to be the solo star. So the demand for tag teams is up and the supply is down. You know, what do you think about you and I rolling with this for a little while and seeing what we can do with it? And like Max had mentioned, you know, our trainer, Damian Wayne, was all for the idea. So from that moment on, all we had to do was come up with a name and kind of like just very fitting. And once it was spoken, it couldn't be unheard, and Noise Pollution was born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rock, talk a little bit more about that. How did you come up with the name? Because to me, I've been a wrestling fan my whole life, 35-plus years here. I've loved the business. And the one thing I really like about certain wrestlers is when I feel parts of their personality come out in their character. And you know what I mean? There has to be some element of themselves in the character they're presenting. Why Noise Pollution for you guys? What does it say about the two of you?
Well, we just both got into the music scene. You know, both our personalities, we're both very outspoken. You know, a lot of people, I've said it since day one, people always tell you when you get in the business that, you know, you take certain aspects of your character and turn the volume way up, you know, and I've always told them I'm finally going to get to take the governor off. And that's how me and Mad Max both are. So, you know, it's just our personalities are loud, if you will, you know, misunderstood by some, but it just kind of, it fit.
Well, Rock, tell me a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up?
I'm originally from a little place in St. Mary's County called Leonardtown. I was probably born in the same little hospital as Scott Hall was. My mom eventually, she remarried and we moved to Virginia when I was smaller. But in that time before we moved, you know how it goes when parents get divorced, mom gets the kid and dad gets the hose. When I used to go visit my old man, you know, and his little black and white colored TV set every weekend, or every other weekend, I should say, and go over there, you know, what are we going to do, Pops? And, man, we'd pull out the old paper TV guide that you can get in the Sunday newspaper, and we'd look for wrestling, you know, whatever we could find. It wouldn't matter, you know, if it was a promotion that we never heard of. You know, that's what we did. We looked for wrestling, and we watched as much wrestling as we could. So after moving to Virginia, you know, we went place to place. My mom remarried a guy in the military. And so for probably the first 6 or 7 years I was in school, I probably never – I moved at least, you know, once a school year. So I was kind of a loner until I we actually settled down out in Gloucester, Virginia, and I grew up there most of my life.
Max, I want to ask you, as we move forward here, who are some of your favorite wrestlers that you watched growing up?
Oh, man. As far as growing up, it's funny how wrestling changes as you get older, too, because the ones you look up to when you're a kid, the more you really start to get into and understand things and the different phases of life, you start following different guys. Like, for me, growing up, it was a lot of, I was a huge fan of Sting. I loved Sting. I loved the Road Warriors. I loved the fact that they were, like, larger than life, remind me of, like, comic book heroes, in a sense.
Absolutely.
They were just had their faces painted, muscles, spikes everywhere. Roddy Piper, Undertaker. And then as I got older, I started getting really into ECW and the Attitude Era, and I started following guys like Shane Douglas. Like, to me, the franchise is like, that's my Ric Flair. That was my champion. That was the guy I grew up to really kind of be like, that's my world champion right there.
Yeah.
So I started really liking Shane Douglas, Bam Bam Bigelow, who else? Stone Cold. And then, just kind of went from there.
Now, how about you, Rock? When you started, you know, watching with your family and getting into, who were some of the wrestlers that you really enjoyed watching?
Shoot, when I was actually first started watching wrestling, you know, it was mostly guys in, like, plain colored tights and black boots. You know, of course, I remember watching guys like Ric Flair and the Funk family and the Briscoes, and being a fan more of the flamboyant type guys, whereas my old man liked the bread and butter working class guys like Harley Race, you know. But of course the kids that I hung out with, you know, we all liked guys like Sting and, you know, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, stuff like that, you know. Rooted for those guys, all, you know, guys like Cactus Jack and Vader. As a kid, you know, you start off watching, like, WWE, like, Max, and a lot of them guys, like, looks like these awesome comic book characters. But then, as you get a little bit older and your personality changes, you just kind of start veering more toward
you mentioned that you've worked North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Tennessee, like you said, all over the Mid-Atlantic area. Mad Max, if you could talk a little bit about life on the road. You know, people that get into pro wrestling may not understand the demands of the travel. How's it been for noise pollution?
The travel hasn't been too bad. I mean, but at the same time, you kind of know what you're getting into when you get in the wrestling business, because it's basically like working for the traveling circus. You know, it's like being on the Ringling Brothers schedule, I would suppose. It's like you get in the car, you go X amount of miles here, X amount of miles there, take a nap, and just go. And luckily for me and Rock, we've been able to travel with a great group of guys when we go out there and do it, because normally it's we get a car together. It's me, Rock, and our buddy, the Juggernaut, the Juan O'Neill. Usually three of us go pal everywhere. And then when we first started tagging together, we were rolling around with Wayne, and he was taking us down to, like, Georgia and Tennessee and West Virginia, helping us get our feet wet and, you know, get our feet in the door. And the cool part about getting on the road and being able to do that stuff with guys that have been around the business for so long is just to be able to, like, sit in the car and pick their brain and, you know, actually get standing of the business and how things work from somebody who's lived it as much as they have. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like sometimes I think the car trips personally are better than the matches themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're real learning opportunities, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sitting under the learning tree.
Rock, we're talking about you two as a tag team, and you both seem to really enjoy it. Like you said, you're going to kind of roll with that and move forward. There's a real art to tag team wrestling. What are some of the nuances, the ins and outs, that you have to really master to be a good tag team?
Well, a lot of it's going to come with the experience with working with the other person. You know, I mean, me and Max is, we got a long way to go, even as much as we've worked with each other thus far. But when you have, just kind of start knowing what that other person is thinking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Start to notice that by which way he's moving, what is he getting ready to do next? Or conveying to him with my actions or my movements what I'm getting ready to do next. You know, when you're talking about things like double team moves, you know, kind of has to be self-explanatory. When I tag in, I don't really have 5 minutes to explain to him what we're getting ready to do to this guy, and vice versa.
Sure.
So, and me and him, you know, Max, he's got the chrome dome, you know, and I like to use that as a weapon. I like to batter anybody with that I can. So he kind of has to know what I'm getting ready to be in position for me to use that weapon.
And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little sick. I like when he uses the chrome dome as a weapon on people. It's kind of fun.
Well, I grew up in the 80s, and there was kind of a golden era of tag team wrestling, certainly in World Wrestling Federation at the time with the Hart Foundation, the British Bulldogs, Demolition, Killer Bees, etc. And those teams stayed together for a long time for the most part. Why do you think, Mad Max, that tag team wrestling has in some ways been devalued over the years? You see a lot of teams in WWE, for example, they're just thrown together for a couple months, but you don't have these kind of teams like Noise Pollution that stay together.
I think what it is like what Rock was saying before, is that especially going through the Attitude Era, there was a lot of stars that wanted to check it out and do individual careers and find their own individual successes and whatnot. And just with the different times and trends, you know, that started becoming the main focus and spotlight. And I don't understand why there is like a devalue in tag teams themselves, when honestly I see value in both singles wrestling and tag team wrestling, because when you got four guys in a ring, there's some really creative things you can come up with that just two guys can't do on their own. You know, I think
yeah,
it's
I've
a bigger stretch.
That's so true.
I definitely feel like that's a bigger stretch of the imagination. And I mean, there's been times where you stick a couple solo guys together. I mean, New Age Outlaws, they were able to make a career out of that, and they both started as singles guys. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And bunch of teams were able to do that. But I know it was me and Rock doing the noise pollution thing, and we go off and do our singles things every now and again. One guy can't go to a show or whatever. But when we get together and do noise pollution, man, we just like to go in there and have ourselves a good time. We like being able to rumble next to each other, too.
Yeah, I've heard that, too. You're right. You know, four people can tell a different story than two can. I think that's true, and you can be creative. Rock, talk about some of the best teams you've worked against.
Well, probably my favorite team, whenever we get the chance, is to we love working the Geordie Bulldogs.
Yep.
You know, they're hometown guys, and, you know, they're all over the place, you know, doing big things in wrestling. And they've always been very supportive of us, and we always try to be very supportive of them. And, you know, even if we're not booked for a show, you know, we like to just hop in the car and ride the shows with those guys, you know what I mean? Just because being in the locker rooms that they're in and just being around them, we can learn so much.
Yeah, Sean and Mark, it's always a good time when we get to roll and learn from them, because they've been, they've been tag team partners since coming out the shoot. So, I mean, you can't get any better than learning from a pair of brothers, you know?
That's it. Sometimes we go down to Gowns. There's young guys down there. They're called the Airtime Rockers, man. Two young kids, good-looking kids that think they got a bright future. And they're kind of one of my favorite teams to work, just because they have that kind of like they're like the shiny good version of noise pollution, you know.
Yeah, those guys are cool.
No.
You guys talk about, you know, the car trip, and you know, they're a good learning opportunity. Working against certain opponents, they're a good learning opportunity. Rock, what does noise pollution still have to work on as you guys continue your career? Because you've really only been tagging for a year and a half now.
Yeah, pretty much that's been it. I mean, I'm going to just be honest with you. You know, we still got everything to work on.
Mm-hmm.
We've been very fortunate, had some success, and we've stayed busy pretty much every weekend since we got into business, which we're very thankful for that. It's a very humbling experience. You know, we set out this year, we said, you know, we had such a great year last year, you know, 2017, and then we're going to really have to make some big accomplishments to top last year. And I was really concerned it was going to be tough, and it just seems like in the first couple of months, we're definitely on pace to top last year. And I'm amazed, very humbled, but very amazed, and, you know, proud to be where we're at. You know, we couldn't do it without, you know, guys like our trainer, Damian Wayne, you know, being able to work with guys like the Bulldogs. Really humble, man, trying to enjoy this ride.
Sure. Mad Max, if you were going to give advice to someone just getting into business, just showing up for wrestling training, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I'm going to ask that question a lot, actually, Dave. My advice for somebody just getting into the business, of course, definitely make sure it's something you want to do, because it's not going to be easy. But just put in the work, you know, put in the work in the gym, make sure you got a good attitude on you, and just put as much effort into this as you possibly can, because it's going to be hell for a while, but the rewards are going to be great once you start to see them, and don't take it for granted.
That's great advice. I've been ring announcing now since 2011, and I do about 2-3 shows a month. I swear every show that I do, I learn something new. Or find something that I can improve on. And it's a really interesting business in that way. And I think you guys have a real bright future, because you recognize that, and you're willing to you know, soak all that up. I wanted to ask you, there's a lot of great video content out there on YouTube, WWE Network, whatever, NWAClassics.com. There's so much material for you to watch. Do you guys use those to kind of go and study and learn from tag teams in the past that can maybe help you today?
Well, honestly, I don't really watch a lot of the modern wrestling. My I always go to the classic wrestling, vintage wrestling. My my video library is still on DVD. I don't really I don't have the internet. And I don't have cable. But what I do have is a very extensive collection of.
How are you gonna listen to this interview, Rock? When we get it online, how are you gonna listen to this?
I got a cell phone. But my video library is like mid-90s and back. So, but you know, I tell people all the time that, you know, wrestling's just like anything else. You gotta have a strong base so you can build up to the top of the pyramid. If you don't know guys like, you know, Gorgeous George and Buddy Rogers, and you don't know the basics, then it's very, you can't build the pyramid upside down. You can't start with wrestling today and then work your way up to knowing the old stuff. You know, it's got to be the other way around.
Very true. And Mad Max, as you look forward here to the next year or two, who are some of your tag teams you'd love to sign and meet in the ring?
Ah, shoot, man, because I know there's a bunch of really great teams out there. Just, I know I've been able to go to a few shows lately and see some. I know the Brutes are at the top of my list personally. Jimmy Parker and Mark James, I'd like to get a crack at those guys. There's this team, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're out of Tennessee or Georgia, but they're called the Carnies. They look like a lot of fun. There's a few other teams I've got in mind. I just can't think of them right now, but We're slowly putting together a list of teams we'd like to work with this year and the future, and that's kind of where we're deciding where our next destination is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Very good, very good. I wanted to thank both of you guys for coming on OWW Radio. Rock, tell us where we can see you guys in action. What promotions are you working for, and what are some of your upcoming matches?
Let's see. We got this weekend, we got Pure Pro. I think it's in Montvale.
Yep.
The following weekend, the show that we were going to do was canceled, so I'm gonna do what I always do when I'm not booked for a show. I'm going to pack a small bag and hop in the car with somebody, or I'm going to venture off and find a show and maybe help them put the ring up and sell some concessions. I don't know. It's just like one of those things where, you know, if I'm not out wrestling, I'm going to be around it one way or the other. After that, coming up April 1st, got a really big match for me and the Mad One. It's going to be at BCW at the Norfolk Masonic Temple versus the Hall Stars, which is another one of those teams that I'm looking forward to working there.
Absolutely.
Also a local team, and they've been in the business for a long time, so really hoping that we'll get a chance to learn a lot from those guys. Other than that, you're going to have to talk to the Mad One because he keeps a better schedule than I do.
Yeah, Dave, we actually just got signed for a tag team championship tournament in Morgantown, North Carolina, I believe it is.
Right, Mr. Zach Zulu.
That's right, for Zone Sports Athletics. Fairly new company. They're bringing Noise Pollution in for their tag tournament. We were their first announced yesterday, I believe it was. But we got that coming up. Let me try to think what else we got. Shoot, I think we're trying to venture off to Kentucky sometime this year, too, so we can go roll around with Mr. Damian Wayne. I think that's in the plans this year.
We'll
meet
back
up with our trainer.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a good upcoming year for you guys, and you both have a bright future in this business. Again, very nice having you on OWW Radio. Where can your fans find Noise Pollution on social media?
You can find us on Facebook at Noise Pollution Rules. You can find us, names, Max Morrison, Rock Richards, we're up there. Feel free to friend us, like our page, shoot us some feedback, and tell us where you'd like to see us, because we're down to come see the fans, because without the fans, you know, who are we doing this for, you know?
You got it. Well, I really enjoyed having you on OWW Radio. I'll make sure to post all that contact information when I put this interview on online, waterofwrestling.com. Mad Max Morrison and Rock Richards, known as Noise Pollution. Wish you the best. Thank you again for being here on OWW Radio.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
You got it. You guys have a great night. I'll talk to you both soon.
All right.
Take care.
Now it is time to bring on my resident WWE expert, Kerry Morris, a.k.a. the Squared Circle Guy, to talk about everything going on in WWE as we are on now the road to WrestleMania 33. How you doing tonight, Kerry?
Doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I just had a nice interview with Mad Max Morrison and Rock Richards, known as Noise Pollution, a good tag team in the Mid-Atlantic area. Now I want to turn my attention, though, to what's going on in WWE, especially now as we move towards the road to WrestleMania 33. You, of course, going to WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, correct?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
And I know you've been going all over the country. You go to almost every pay-per-view now. Do you still get excited for WrestleMania? What makes WrestleMania different to you, Kerry, than some of these other shows you go to?
It's going to be special, and both brands on one show. You know they're going to, you know, put something great on. It's just a fun weekend because I get to see, you know, most people, you know, everybody from all over versus just parts of the U.S. at some of the shows. And there's something different about being at a large stadium with 70,000, 80,000 people, especially when it's outdoors. That just even adds more to the atmosphere.
Yeah, so, you know, Orlando, of course, has hosted WrestleMania before. Was it 24, right? WrestleMania 24?
24,
Did you go to that one?
I was there, yeah.
Yeah. And so Orlando, in general, you think is a good destination? Of course, Orlando is a good conference town. I mean, I've been to conferences there, so they understand big events. And, of course, with Disney there, they understand tourism. Orlando, a good destination for you?
I mean, I like the fact that it's warm. I can get out of Chicago for a few days, so that would be nice. You know, it's not bad. I mean, I'm not big on Disney and Universal. I know a lot of people are, so that'll be great. I think it'll be a good location. I personally will always love New Orleans just because everything was in walking distance. No cars, Ubers, taxis needed.
That was the last WrestleMania that I went to, WrestleMania 30. That to me was, hard to beat. I mean, I had a really good time hanging out with you in New York, and I thought Miami was cool, but there was something really special about New Orleans. I think you're right. I think because we could walk everywhere. And I just thought WrestleMania 30 was spectacular. When looking back, Kerry, the WrestleManias you've been to, where does WrestleMania 30 rank for you? Is it one of the best?
One of the best overall in terms of not only the event but the weekend. You know, this would be my 17th Mania coming up, and you know, yeah, it's like one hell of a drug. It started with Mania 17 and been going ever since. You know, 18 fits up there, 20, and I say probably, yeah, 30 is right up there, just for the atmosphere, for the event itself, for, you know, just everything involved in the entire weekend.
Well, I like what you mentioned about the entire weekend, and I have not been the last couple of years. I'm not going this year to 33 just for financial reasons, and I really miss you and the friends that you make through these weekends. When you go to something like Fastlane or Elimination Chamber, that's kind of a one-day thing, right, Kerry? You come in, and then you leave it the next day. But WrestleMania is an experience of 4 or 5 days, and that's what I miss because that's where you build the friendships.
Oh, exactly, yeah. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where, I mean, because they've added SmackDown in the same city, so I'll be there Thursday through Wednesday, and then some people are staying that Wednesday night for the NXT tapings. So, I mean, it's becoming like a week-long thing, and SummerSlam is now a 4- and 5-day thing. Soon Rumble and Survivor Series will be as well. So, yeah, it's definitely just a whole experience. And there's some of us that, yeah, we meet up at almost every pay-per-view. Like, we spent a weekend in Phoenix, and then, you know, a lot of people flew into Chicago, and we drove up to Milwaukee and back, and, you know, ran into Goldberg at the Wendy's about 1 in the morning off the highway. And, yeah, just the experience of it.
So talk a little bit, Kerry, about the WrestleMania 33 travel package. If there's people out there that are maybe thinking about going, I don't know if there's even any left to purchase, but what is in the WrestleMania
33
travel package?
Oh, no, it's sold out instantly. Depending on what you get, there's now 5-6 tiers of it. It all varies. I always, of course, go for the top package. It includes your hotel. It includes
of VIP receptions or exclusive meet and greets. You've got your Hall of Fame NXT, WrestleMania Raw, SmackDown tickets. We're having exclusive Performance Center tour as part of the package. You got the shuttle bus to and from Mania to the Performance Center all taken care of. It's nice to have it all done in one purchase.
Oh, no question. Well, so you're saying it kind of extends now even to Tuesday because they have SmackDown Live, right?
Exactly, yeah. So that's now an option. You don't have to get that with the package, but you can, add that on. Same with the other packages they're doing now, too.
Interesting. Good. So you're all set to go, and what else are you looking forward to doing in Orlando? How many? You have some friends coming down as well? I mean, it becomes like a big party, right, for like 5 days.
Oh, it is. There's a lot of us. Oh, yeah, you know, Jalen McCall's coming in. Lester will be there. Howell will be there. Got some other friends coming in. So it's going to be busy trying to see and meet everybody. It's almost just nonstop between that and a couple of access sessions, and I'm going to WrestleCon. I finally found a classic WCW 91-94 belt. I'm going to get signed by all five title holders.
Very cool. Kerry, I got one big problem with WWE right now. I mean, I as the editor-in-chief of Online World of Wrestling, I still watch. I still love professional wrestling. I think the brand split is okay, but I think there's way too many titles. And so I looked at the preliminary card for WrestleMania 33, and like the first six matches are title matches that we know.
Yeah.
There's the Raw Women's Title, the SmackDown Women's Title, the Raw Tag Team Title, the Universal. I mean, there's just so many titles. And God, Kerry, when I was growing up, titles meant something. I remember every title change in WWF at the time for like 8 years. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could do that, too, up until about the Attitude Era when everyone, flipped titles, and then they created titles and titles went away. And, I agree. Even on a show that's going to be 7-8 hours long, having all, nine title matches, it's too much. I think that the brand split has done wonders for SmackDown. I think it's helped that show tremendously come across as the A show again after the longest time being treated as the subpar B show. But, yeah, I agree. There's too many titles. It's not like you're having one program is WWF, one program is WCW. They're all under one umbrella brand. You can call it, red brand or blue brand, but you need to cut back on the titles. I think it'd make it more interesting to have champions float between both shows.
That's the key. That's what I don't understand. I don't understand that because when I got really back into WWE back in the mid-2000s, they had that in Raw and SmackDown, and the shows were excellent. I really liked them. And the champions would float between the shows if necessary. Why do we need a champion for Raw and a champion for SmackDown, a tag team champion for Raw and a tag team champion for SmackDown? I just don't – and I'm not trying to
– I know they tried that in the first brand split by having the World Tag Titles and the WWE Tag Titles and the World Title and the WWE Title and the U.S. And then they – got rid of the Intercontinental, and they brought the Intercontinental back, and then you had one women's title, and then also they get the women and the divas, and they combined it, and they finally combined the SmackDown tag the both tag titles. And then it's just like, yeah, it's too much. I mean, I get the Cruiserweight. It's a separate brand. Why can't Cruiserweights be on both shows, have a champion float between both? Same with the tag titles. I think it makes your roster look a little more depth when you have 12 tag teams fighting for one belt versus five on this show for one and five on this show for the other.
Well, that's the thing. And so, I'm, of course, a big Beth Phoenix fan. She's my favorite wrestler of all time. It'll never be touched. By the way, she's a class of 2017 WWE Hall of Famer. You knew I'd sneak that in, right?
Well, well-deserved, well-earned, and I don't care what fans say. She has earned it. Quit bitching about it. Others will go in, too. She's earned it. Let it be.
Yeah, that's so funny you say that. Everyone's like, well, they should have inducted X, Y, and Z first. Settle down, everybody. They're all getting in eventually, right?
Exactly.
But she is really the reason that you and I are talking tonight, because she was my inspiration to really want to work in this business. And I love her to death. And I'll tell you this, when she was the women's champion, it was really important to me. Championships are important to fans, maybe even more so. And I've talked to a lot of wrestlers, Kerry, that I understand it. Like Jake Roberts, he didn't care if he was Intercontinental Heavyweight. He didn't care. He was getting a huge paycheck, and He knew his status wasn't determined by a championship, but fans care. And when she was exactly. champion and lost it to Melina at the Royal Rumble in 2009, I mean, I was really upset. And I wonder now, yeah. do fans have any of that kind of pathos anymore, Kerry? Because here, for example, Kevin Owens just got squashed at Fastlane, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But now he's back fighting for a title at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, none of this matters.
Yeah.
The result.
I think a lot of fans, when I gather, do care about titles. I think a lot of fans do. I think at least in case of the women, they're happy that, you know, you're getting to see more women featured and more opportunity because, I mean, also, let's face it, a lot of Tucker fans, they're going to bitch and whine no matter what. They'll never be happy. So you kind of have to sometimes ignore them and go for the casual fan because that's where more money lies in the first place. And it's easier to please them versus a hardcore IWC fan. But, I mean, I think it's great that it does. I think having two women's titles did help elevate, like, Alexa Bliss and Becky and Naomi. It also helps on the Raw side with Sasha and Charlotte and Nia and Bayley. It'd be nice to kind of see just one champion float back and forth between both, but I definitely, tag titles definitely need to be combined to one and one world title.
Well, here's my thing on that is that you could have had NXT be kind of like the minor league title or like the stepping stone title because NXT is a good program. And they could have had NXT.
Oh, yeah.
If you're the NXT women, yeah. If you're the NXT women's champion,
mm-hmm.
that's excellent. And then the next step is the WWE women's champion. Kerry, for
yeah.
example.
Kind of like the IC belt back in the day was the stepping stone to the world title.
Exactly right. And that's the point I was just going to make in that when Randy Savage won the Intercontinental title, then lost it, and then he became heavyweight champion. Did Randy Savage ever wrestle for the Intercontinental Championship again?
No. He was main card the whole way through. And I think he was the only one who could replace Hogan and keep the ratings and the ticket sales up because Warrior was kind of a bomb in that. But Savage is the only one who kept the momentum going.
But Savage never went back and wrestled like Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental title.
No, exactly. No. Uh-uh.
Right. Because there was a progression in career. You know, there was a progression in their careers. Roman Reigns has been like heavyweight champion and then like also like United States champion. I mean, it's just the titles are so diluted. And to me, that's disappointing because I think the athletes are incredible. WWE, when they do a video production, it's spectacular. It's unbelievable.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When God forbid someone like George Steele dies or something like that,
mm-hmm.
they have the world. It's like nobody in the world makes better video.
No, no one can touch them on that. Oh, yeah, no one can touch them on that at all. No, uh-uh.
And I just don't understand why they kind of took away some of the importance of championship. I wish I could talk to Triple H and Stephanie and those guys and ask them, like, why
I think that's not them. Spend some time in the Performance Center and actually getting to spend time with Triple H and some of the other people that work with him, you know, the way he runs NXT, how it's more old school. If he was the one solely in charge of WWE, the main roster, you'd see more of that up there. But unfortunately, it's not his call. You know, it's still one person in power that makes the final decision. And I think with Triple H, once he actually gets full power and it's his and the buck stops with him, you're going to see more of that old school feel and more titles being meaningful and stuff like that but come back.
So, okay, I'll get off my soapbox. You watch a lot of WWE. You go to all the shows. Who are some of your favorites right now, Kerry? Who do you really enjoy watching?
Man, there's actually some different. I love watching Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. I'm glad Seth Rollins is back. And, you know, of course, the knee injury is a little setback. I'm glad Samoa Joe is finally on the main roster. I enjoy seeing the women, Alexa Bliss and Becky. I'm glad Mickey James is back. I'm very happy for Nia and Bayley and Sasha and Charlotte. I think they're going to do wonders. You know, and the women's division keeps getting better and better. You know, it's going to take time. You can't just throw a bunch of talented women out there, you know, without any storyline or any buildup. You know, you have to give it time, let it progress slowly. But I enjoy seeing them. I enjoy seeing American Alpha in the tag match mm-hmm. on the SmackDown tag division. I'm happy for Gallows and Anderson, and then also Shane. I like the combination of Sheamus and Cesaro. So I think that's finally starting. I think the competition is finally starting to grow on fans. It took them a while to accept it. I think it's finally growing on fans.
Well, I'm just glad they're still using it. I mean, they're, Cesaro and Sheamus are both great talents, right? I mean, and so I'm just glad that they're finding important storylines for the two of them. Because if I was going to put together a roster tomorrow for WWE, I mean, those are good hands to have on that roster.
Oh, yeah, I'd probably put the belt on Cesaro instantly, first day number one.
Well, you mentioned Kevin Owens. You say you like watching him. He's now going to be back fighting for a title at WrestleMania 33. A lot of title matches, as we talked about, and Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt for the WWE title. It seems like there's been a resurgence, Kerry, a renaissance almost for Randy Orton. What do you think about what they've done with the Viper?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd hate to have them take the belt off Bray. He's earned it. I think this is a good chance to make Bray a full-fledged face and Randy back to being a heel because, I mean, Randy loves playing the heel. He said that over and over again, let him play the heel. And the fans just love Bray Wyatt. That's just, man, that's just a face right there, a huge over face. Make him a strong face. Make the turn. Maybe keep the belt on him for a while longer through, I don't know, maybe Money in the Bank or SummerSlam.
Can you believe, Kerry, that they're teasing The Undertaker for WrestleMania 33? I mean, is it time for this just to go away, or can he still have an impact on their biggest show?
Oh, he can still have an impact. I think I know when his last show is, and it's going to make perfect sense. So we've got this year, and we've got one more left. I think that's it. But I know but the reaction, especially he got in Chicago, was the loudest of all I've heard in a long time of any show. So I think he still has an impact when used properly.
He is just a fast, you know, I still say that it is Vince's greatest creation because, you know, Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and, you know, Macho Man, I mean, yes, Vince deserves some credit for packaging them in certain ways and using them in certain ways. I understand that, the Ultimate Warrior, et cetera. But, I mean, the Undertaker, to me, is his greatest character development. Is that a fair statement?
Oh yeah, but that's pure original, and you got to give credit for to Undertaker for finding ways to keep his character fresh throughout these 27 years.
And I agree with you, but the streak to me never made sense, and it never made sense to break the streak. You're either going to have the streak and he's going to undefeated forever. Why go 20-0 or 21 and then lose? And I don't understand that philosophy. If you're going to have him be unbeatable at WrestleMania, why lose ever?
Well, I think the streak was just by accident. The only time I think people really realized it, like I realized a lot of people did when he beat Flair at 18, you see him counting his hands to 10. I thought, what the hell is he doing? And my brother told me, he's 10-0, he's in WrestleMania. I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, no, he hasn't. And then the fans kind of caught on to that. And so I think they kind of went with the fans, like, hey, he won, win again and won again. He hasn't lost and kept going. And then, you know, some could say that, you know, how could someone like his oldest taker really truly beat someone like an ultimate fighter like Brock Lesnar? But you could have booked it as, you know, Lesnar got disqualified by taking the Undertaker out of the chair with a chair beating or something like that. Kept the streak intact, made Lesnar look strong. They could have done that route. Can't change it now, but that's the route I would have gone.
I mean, I kind of feel, honestly, like when he lost to Lesnar, he should have just retired. I just feel like that would have been a good end to the character. But he's mythical. People love him. He adds, I guess, to the grandness of WrestleMania. Is that fair?
Well, yeah. And then the nostalgia, too, I think, as well.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, I think what Jim Ross said at best, it's not about Taker. It's more about how does Roman Reigns come out after this match, whether – you know, Taker wins, but Roman turns heel and, you know, Taker does a stretcher job, or does Roman Reigns get a shocking win over Taker?
I have worked James Ellsworth. I think I told you that, correct?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
And I loved Pretty Jimmy Dream when he was with the New Age Nasty Boy, Adam Ugly. They were a great tag team called Pretty Ugly. They worked all over the East Coast, and I really, really enjoyed their work in the ring. It's so fascinating to me, Kerry. I can't even tell you, of all the things I've seen in wrestling, that they have repackaged him into this James Ellsworth character. Now look, he gets a paycheck. He wrestled John Cena last week, for crying out loud. I mean, anyone who criticizes you know, pretty Jimmy Dream for anything is just jealous. But
oh, exactly.
I think
and the merchandise sales he's making, the royalties he's making off of it.
It's incredible. I mean, but what I think so fascinating is how different this character is than the one that I knew for several years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I talked to Jason Diedrich, who is the owner of OWW, you know, his wife, Melissa Anderson, who is one of the world's most famous women's wrestlers. And he said, Dave, that's what they do. They'd get over it. I mean, everyone who goes to WWE, they repackage them. In fact, his wife went to TNA and she was Risha Saeed and she was repackaged from her character.
Yeah.
This is what companies do. I understand that. So James Ellsworth, is he like the most famous jobber of the last 20 years? I mean, when I was
probably since the Brooklyn Brawler.
But see, here's the thing. I could have named back in 1988. I could have named 15 jobbers every week on TV, from Barry O to Iron Mike Sharp to Steve Lombardi to all of them. I knew them all.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was kind of funny, you know, that I would come on and watch, you know, I would watch Sunday morning wrestling and it'd be the Honky Tonk Man versus, you know, Brad Riggins. And you just knew. I mean, the jobbers were actually kind of famous in their own way. They were SD Jones. Is James Ellsworth eclipsing that? Is he like the most famous jobber we've had in 20 years?
I think so. Yeah, I think he is not what the jobber was of the 80s and early 90s, back when it was Superstars and Wrestling Challenge, All-American Wrestling, and it was all just nothing but, that's basically what it was the enhancement match, the squash match. You know, that's all we had growing up back in the day. So, yeah, he's definitely the more famous one. Different era. I don't know how he'd fare back then if he was just the Iron Mike Sharp of the 80s. At least now he gets to be in storylines, gets to have merchandise. Like you said, wrestle John Cena, paired up with Carmella. You know, I think he wrestled AJ for the world title, I believe.
But it's incredible, right? It's an incredible rise. And the thing I find fascinating, Kerry, like when I would go to the Hershey Park Arena and I would look at the card for the evening, I mean, Hogan at the top or Macho Man at the top, and you go all the way down, tag team title match, you'd Hillbilly Jim versus Junkyard, whatever. And then you get to the end, and it would say, like, Iron Mike Sharp versus Salvatore Bellomo. And the cool thing about a match like that was those two jobbers, one of them would win. Every now and again, the WWE would have Paul Roma versus, you know, Conquistador number two. And it was kind of cool because it got the crowd warmed up, and every now and again, you know, Conquistador would get his hand raised in victory or something like that. But that's not the case now, because every match on TV is you know, Bayley versus Charlotte or Randy Orton.
Yeah, it's geared for star power, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of those matches where you see that it's Dean Ambrose versus a nobody. They just every now. I remember Beth Phoenix back in 2010. She had a run where she went through a bunch of local stars that they wanted to build her back up for the women's title. But it doesn't happen much anymore.
No, they did that with Nia Jax, and they did that with Braun Strowman, and that's been it for so far.
Hmm. Okay, so we're looking at the road to WrestleMania 33. Right at the top, the WWE Universal Title, Goldberg versus Lesnar. Did this match need the title to be important to you?
To me, not. Maybe they think it does to get the casual fan to watch. To me, it didn't need it. You know, I think others might disagree with me. I don't know. I think, no, I definitely didn't need a title. But I guess we'll see. I guess, like Jim Ross says, we'll see what comes out of it. Lots of golden opportunities in the long run that can come out of it.
Did they, Kerry, book this the correct way by having Goldberg squash Lesnar a couple months ago?
Oh, yeah. In my opinion, yeah, I loved it. I mean, it got you talking. It came out of nowhere, and it got you talking. And it was like, holy crap. And when I was there, I almost jumped over the railing. I was so happy to see that. You know, there's a little part of me is like, okay, this is 3.5 hours. Let's end the show. And they did. I was like, okay, good. We can go home. But, I mean, it was like the Goldberg of old. It got you talking, got that shock value in a good way, and it's able to continue the feud out to the – you know, and the storyline behind it is good. You know, Goldberg has Lesnar's number. He threw him out quickly in the Rumble. And he, you know, had Kevin, you know, and he's still this, you know, the Goldberg of old. So now, can Lesnar, can he prove that, hey, no, I can beat this guy. He doesn't have my number.
I don't know.
You know, that's
I
where
kind of
I think, I think that's where the storyline could be, and it didn't need the belt. But that's just me.
I guess the thing is, when Goldberg squashed Lesnar, was that a Survivor Series?
Survivor Series, uh-huh.
I guess I kind of felt like it was obvious then they were going to have another match at WrestleMania. And like, it was going to... I guess I just felt like that gave it away. That's where they were going. But I am interested to see it. There's something about Lesnar that's just magnetizing. You have to watch him. And it is.
Yeah, he's a true star.
He is a true star. That is true. And there's some violence to him that is authentic.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And I think that Goldberg is such an interesting character in the history of pro wrestling. So many people are quick to put him down, quick to dismiss him in the importance that he played. Let me tell you something. Do you remember when he wrestled Hogan in July? I think it was 1998 for the WCW World Title.
July 6, 1998. WWE tried to counter by bringing Shawn Michaels out, but that was the one of the few times WCW won the wars when they were losing. They won the war that night. Georgia Dome, about 40,000 people, and that crowd was just going absolutely crazy.
They had a huge crowd. You're absolutely right. I'm going to tell you, I was living in Waldorf, Maryland at the time. If my house would have burned down, Kerry, I would have sat there with the fire around me watching that TV. I mean, I remember thinking, I was so excited to watch Goldberg versus Hollywood Hulk Hogan. I think WCW probably should have kept it for Starrcade. But
oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that being said, it was, at the moment, really, really exciting. And people shouldn't just throw Goldberg out in the trash and say he had no impact in this business. He's been a good star in this business.
Yeah, he brought a lot of ratings and merchandise and ticket sales to WCW.
Mm-hmm. And like, what is the complaint, Kerry? He didn't pay his dues. Is that what people complain about?
You know, it's just that, or the more, oh, he can't wrestle, it's always been a squash match, but that was his whole character from back in 97. That was the gimmick. You know, he's just a badass guy. He doesn't have to wrestle these long matches. He comes in, kicks your ass, out the door, and he goes home. And I think that's what's so great about Survivor Series is that I think most people assumed that, oh, it's a one-off match, let him get his win back, this is going to be a blah, blah, blah. So when Goldberg comes out and in 26 seconds, he matches over and he wins. Like I said, great shock value, get you talking, and it's going to stretch out a marquee money-making match all the way to Mania.
So if you were fantasy booking this, Kerry, who would you put over at WrestleMania 33?
Assuming the belt's on the line or not.
Well, the belt is on the line, right? I mean, the Universal title.
I mean, if I was fantasy booking and I had the choice of keeping the belt or not, I would say... Or do we just stick with that the belt's on the line, and I have to book it?
Yeah, let's keep the belt on the line.
Geez, that's tough because I'm personally not a fan of Lesnar. I like Goldberg a lot, but I think I would probably put the belt on Lesnar so he could put someone else younger over and be more meaningful when that belt changes hands to, you know, like a Finn Balor or a Samoa Joe or a Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, I'm going to have to let you go here, but I can't let you go, Kerry, without talking about the 2017 WWE Hall of Fame class that you're going to see inducted the Saturday night before WrestleMania. My all-time
night,
favorite
yep.
wrestler, the love of my wrestling life, the reason that I, you know, am still in this business, the Glamazon Beth Phoenix. God bless her, is going to be in the class of 2017. You know, I like Edge, but I'm jealous of him, you know, as you know.
Yeah. Keep in mind, the Hall of Fame is Friday this year, not Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, it is Friday. I did not know that.
Yeah, no, it's Friday now. They, I think this is a permanent switch. It'll be Fridays from now on, NXT on Saturday.
Okay. I always felt like if Beth ever got inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, I would definitely be there, fly there just for the ceremony. But since I work for the Cauliflower Alley Club, we honored her in 2015, so I got you know, to be a part of her induction into the Cauliflower Alley Club. And it was such a sweet speech that she gave. You know, Adam Copeland was there, and his words that helped induct her. They have a beautiful marriage, and You know that when she goes into the Hall of Fame, Carrie, they'll be the first spouses inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Isn't that remarkable?
No, you're right. That's pretty damn good. I like it. And they're both deserving, yeah, well deserved.
And you could argue that, you know, Miss Elizabeth should be in, and then, you know, she and Randy, but whatever. So, and one day Triple H and Steph will both be in, and they won't be the only ones. But congratulations to the love of my wrestling life, Beth Phoenix. I will never, ever, 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 ever forget April of 2010 at WWE Extreme Rules in Baltimore, Maryland. I was front row when she won the WWE Women's title. And it was probably the most glorious night of my wrestling career. And then I had her on my radio show, the CEC radio, and it is just she's a wonderful woman, a great inspiration to me and my family, and I'm so thrilled for her. But Carrie, there are other good names going in this year too: DDP, Kurt Angle, Rick Rude. What are you looking forward to most at the Hall of Fame?
I always love the stories. As I'm really excited, especially to see Kurt Angle finally back after over 10 years being gone. I think it's a good class. I'm interested in hearing stories of the Rock and Roll Express, Teddy Long. I'm going to, you know, enjoy, like I said, Beth Inks is going to have a wonderful speech, I'm sure. I'm glad Rick Rude is finally in. As they put one more in, I hope it's Big Van Vader. I think he deserves it. It's always a fun night. I enjoy those nights and listening to those stories that those guys have. And these are guys I've, you know, grew up watching. And so it'll bring back a lot of memories.
Sure. Sure. And last question for you, Carrie. WrestleMania 33, a big event. You're excited for it. And it's going to be a great time for you in Orlando with you and your friends. But looking forward to the remainder of 2017, where does WWE go from here? What do you think, you know, maybe a breakout star or a big storyline that you'll see going forward in 2017?
I think when they have another draft, switch some major stars or see some major feuds taking place, I could see really Finn Balor being a huge breakout star by the end of SummerSlam 2017, or even, you know, all the way through Survivor Series. I think that's going to be your big breakout star for 2017.
Listen, Finn Balor to me is a fascinating case. I'm glad you brought his name up because he has a dislocated shoulder, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I've dislocated my right shoulder twice violently, and I have never been the same. And I know he's a world-class athlete. I know he had surgery, and I really, really hope he's going to be okay. It's a very, very tough injury.
Oh, it is. I do it with my patients all the time. That's one of the worst injuries you can have.
Because the shoulder has so much motion, right, Carrie? I mean, the rotation.
So much motion. It's very delicate. Yeah, it's very delicate. And sometimes, I mean, not in his case, but a lot of people, the surgery is worse than just dealing with the pain and moving on with your life. But no, with my patients, that's probably the worst injury you could have.
One of the worst. I had to recover and get back to doing things like sitting and typing on spreadsheets, you know, and sitting and typing on Microsoft Project. But he has to get back to being in the wrestling ring and performing at a world-class level. I hope he does well. I'm concerned because it's such a severe injury, but I agree with you in that they have something with him that could be really interesting coming back, working with some of these other stars. Carrie, before we let you go, you are the Squared Circle guy. Why is that? What does that mean?
That is the local restaurant here in Chicago owned by Lisa Marie Barron, known as Victoria or Tara from TNA, and ex-husband Lee. It's a wonderful place in Chicago for those of you who just love wrestling and just want to, you know, it's a place you can come, watch wrestling. You know, if you don't know anybody there, you'll eventually meet some friends. You know, it's nothing common except wrestling. It's great food, a great atmosphere. They're hosting a WrestleMania party. They always do. It's packed. But it's always a fun atmosphere from what people tell me. There's definitely something you want to check out if you're ever in the city. 2418 North Ashland.
I love it. I love it. And where can your fans find you on social media?
I am WWSQD Circle Guy on Twitter. On Instagram, I finally joined up on Instagram, joined in the 21st century. I'm WWE Squared Circle Guy, or just my name on Facebook.
All right, good. I will make sure to post all of that information when I have this on Online World of Wrestling. Carrie, your insight is always fun for me. WWE, this is a big time of year rolling into WrestleMania 33. You're going to have a great time down in Orlando. And let's make sure we get something on the calendar for after WrestleMania 33 so we can talk about everything that happened on the show, but also your personal experience. Sound good?
Sounds good. And we'll talk about your return from Mania 34 in New Orleans.
Yeah, maybe so. We'll see. I am jealous you're going to the Hall of Fame ceremony because this is a big year with Beth going in for me. But I will make sure to watch it on the network. Kerry Morris, a.k.a. the Squared Circle Guy, thank you so much for being on OWW Radio.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you.
I'll talk to you real soon. Don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlinewordofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. Email us at radio@onlinewordofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Until next time, I am David. Thanks again to Kerry Morris, a.k.a. the Squared Circle Guy, for talking about everything to do with WWE as we look forward to WrestleMania 33. And, of course, our featured guests, Mad Max Morrison and Rock Richards, the tag team Noise Pollution, for being here with me tonight. I hope you enjoyed the program. I'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well that's a